Welcome to Opus here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Greg Williams. He is the Executive Director of Love and Lordship Ministries based here in Central Kentucky, and he has recently written a book called The Authority of Love, and he's actually going to be speaking at a conference later this month that I want to encourage you to register for. You can do it in person, but also they have it available virtually. But yesterday, Greg, we were talking about some of the things in your book, and I asked you the question about, you know, what are some of the top three causes of marriage problems? And you shared a Bible verse, James 4:1, and that's where he ended. But just to kind of refresh people, or in case maybe they missed yesterday's program, share with us about what James 4:1 says.
Yeah, that's good, Greg. And I think that's a great bridge between these two shows, because everyone wants to know how to solve those greatest problems. And they'll come in and we'll talk about sex or money or finances or communication and different areas there. But I always take a couple back to James 4:1. You ask about that, and I mentioned it yesterday. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, who was the elder of the church at Jerusalem, and he didn't believe in Jesus early on, but he came to understand that. And he writes in that verse, as we know it, where do the quarrels and the dissensions and fightings and the arguments come from? And as I said yesterday, they don't come from the other selfish person. They come from the selfish desires in your own heart. If you're struggling with someone, and that's the problem, whether it's sex, communication, in-laws, outlaws, I said yesterday, conflict resolution, money, whatever it may be, if you're struggling, the most difficult thing to do is, and I call it the James 4:1 Holy Spirit mirror. It is truly a mirror that you can only hold up to yourself. You cannot turn it and say, see, James 4:1 on you. It doesn't work that way, because the text itself by the Holy Spirit says you got to start with where you are. And so I think we ended yesterday by saying that most people will come in trying to go, show me how to fix my money problems or my sex problems or my communication problems. And I go, we can't just start there, because the deeper issue is that you don't really know Christ as Lord. And you still have those selfish desires that you've not looked at and allowed him to take care of. And when he takes care of those, everything starts to change. And so when we get to that point, and then when you begin to base your mentoring or counseling on that one foundational piece, we can always go back to, don't give me what somebody else is doing or whatever things you're thinking about. Go back and see where you are with him to start everything. And that changes everything.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, you've talked to me about, and you shared there a little bit about everybody, you know, wants to control their lives, maybe their spouses or families, but it's really first doing an inside job, isn't it, looking inside yourself?
Yeah, it's letting Christ control. I mean, that's the first and greatest sin. Matter of fact, that's the only temptation we ever really face. It may show up in thousands of different ways, depending on your fruit. But when Adam and Eve stood at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the enemy said, hey, they're created in the image of God, and they've got free will. They got that. You can't have love if you don't have that. That's why God said, "You can. In order to love me, you have to willingly submit to me. I will not demand it. You have to willingly submit." And so the enemy said, they're made in his image, so they're going to want to make the laws and be in control. So I'm going to tell them, partial truth here, if you eat that fruit, you'll be like God. You're in control. You got your own kingdom. You can make your own laws. And James 4:1 says, the problem is you got selfish desires in your own heart, and that's what's driving you. And now you run up against somebody else, a spouse, a child, a friend, who's got desires of their own. And so that changes everything when Christ is truly Lord and we surrender that instead of us thinking that we are.
Well, this is something you said to me many, many years ago, but I just felt like, you know, preparing that somebody needs to hear this. And you said to me one time, I never forgot this quote. You said, you know, Greg, when you get the vertical relationship right, the horizontal relationships in your life go much better. Share with our listeners what you meant by that.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you asked that question, because this book is not just for individuals and marriages and couples and families. All of that's in there. And God has Dr. Tony Evans says, our God is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God, and every covenant has an order. Mm-hmm. God didn't start in the government, didn't start in the schoolhouse. He didn't even start in the church. He started in the individual hearts and in a relationship between a man and a woman known as marriage. And so, in line with your question, when we said that, I see so many churches talk about that same thing. You know, I'm right now, if you can visualize, listeners, I'm putting two hands up beside my head and straight up to heaven going, got to work on that vertical relationship before you get the horizontal ones right. We claim that all the time. But in our discipleship, and I mentioned this in the book, I've hardly known any church, and I've been in a lot of them, and I've shared in a lot of them, and I've had confirmation of this almost every single time. I've hardly ever had a church that said, we begin our discipleship by teaching you how to fulfill the first and greatest command. That's the vertical relationship. And it's the first and greatest, not just because he deserves it, but because he knows that if we don't follow that command, we can't do the second command. We can't love others as we love ourselves. If we don't take care of the vertical and truly love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength and disciple others there first, then what happens is so many churches go, oh, good, glad you got saved. Now go out and serve and love others. Work on this. Show the others how much God loves them. And that's the horizontal. But we have not helped them and discipled them into what it means to truly love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Therefore, we're going out empty. We really are. We might be saved, but we're empty. We're infants and we're empty. Only when we obey the first command and get filled up with him and then know who we are in Christ can we not only love him with all we are, but we love who we are recreated to be in Christ. Now we can go do the horizontal. And we're missing that. And this the book talks about that quite a bit.
Yeah, well, you know, that part, the commandment, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I mean, I love how specific the Bible is.
Yes.
You know, not just your heart, not just how you feel, your soul, but also your mind. Of course, Romans 12.
Your strength, your body. Yeah, physically.
You know, Romans 12:1, we talked a lot about that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I know just from knowing you and from reading the book and getting an advanced copy, that's one of the things you really want people to see, that there truly can be transformation in their lives.
Absolutely.
By that relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, and the beautiful part about that, Greg, is I just, matter of fact, the morning we're taping this, I literally, the devotional focus for love and lordship was Ephesians 2:8-10. That we are saved by grace through faith, not of our own works, because we would boast, but as a gift of God. But we are also recreated. That's probably the best word. We're recreated in Christ. We're a new creature in Christ to do the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. And what so often we do is, well, you're saved by grace and everything's good from there on. But grace also is the free gift of the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ, that we now have the strength to live that out. And that means that we can take thoughts captive, that we can renew our mind. What are we going to renew it with? We're not going to continue in the same fleshly, worldly, sinful thinking or even temptation. We begin to take thoughts captive and go, Lord, where does this line up with you? And that begins, that's 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, by the way, and that refers right back to Romans 12:1-2. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And the amazing thing is, for a long time I did, and nobody ever taught me differently, the Holy Spirit eventually did, is that holy and acceptable is not what me giving myself back to God makes me. It's what Christ has already made me by his grace. But also by his grace and his truth and his strength and the Holy Spirit in me, now I can live out as a holy sacrifice. I give myself back to God as just a reasonable act, Romans 12:1 said, of worship. Based upon what Christ has done for me, that's just a reasonable response to what I ought to do for him. And so I have not only the grace that has saved me, but that same grace guides me and matures me in his truth and love.
Well, I'm really excited. You've got a conference that you're going to be speaking at. It's going to tell us a little bit about that. It's called the Authority of Love Conference, which is based on your new book that's just coming out this month, The Authority of Love. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect about this conference that you're speaking at on Friday, October 23rd from 6 or 7 to 10 p.m. our time, because it's actually in St. Louis.
That's
is
right.
That correct?
Right.
And then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. our time. Tell us a little bit about this conference.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, Greg. And hopefully, I think you're going to have the websites and the registration link on Hope Is Here, and we'll have it at loveandlordship.com as well. But it is truly what the Lord has been leading me to do for years, but now we've quantified it in the book, And it basically takes us through six sessions, beginning with, do you understand what it means for Christ to be the authority, true authority? He's the author, and to be Lord in your life. And then the second session says, well, if he is, then he has told us clearly what it means, how we're supposed to respond as his disciple. I mean, he lays that out as plain as day. I'll let you join in on the conference to find out more, but his wording is not soft-soled. He doesn't candy coat it. He says very plainly what it means for us to be his disciple. And if we're not doing it, he says, you can't be my disciple. And so that's the first two. Now, what have we done there? We've laid the foundations that we just talked about yesterday and earlier today. If we don't have those foundations, we're going to continue to have problems in relationships. Because if Christ is not really Lord and I'm doing it my selfish fleshly way and so is the other person, doesn't work real well in relationships. So session three talks about how we now do relationships as a disciple of Christ with him as Lord. I don't just claim him as Savior. I walk with him as Lord and it affects every relationship that I'm in. Namely, fourth session, my marriage, which is the most important of human relationships. Doesn't mean everybody has to get married, but Hebrews says we need to honor, all of us should honor marriage. So that we honor it outside of marriage by living lives of purity and integrity. That's how we honor marriage, whether we choose to get married or not. And of course, this world says sex is the god, and God says, no, I am, and I gave you that gift, and I can show you how to be fulfilled in that. You keep doing it your way, and you're going to be destroyed. It's going to destroy you. So that's through the fourth session, marriage. Fifth session is marriage, family, and parenting. How do we do that? Why is all that so important? Because now, according to God's covenant order, where I quoted Dr. Tony Evans previously, now we can strengthen our churches. Because the church is a fellowship or relationships of believers, right? Well, if we don't know how to do good relationships in the most important of relationships, how can we do it in the church? So now we talk about not only love, but servant leadership in the church. I'll give you one quick scripture that sums it all up. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:5. He gives all these criteria for what it means, what it takes to be a servant leader in the church. But right there in verse 4 and 5, he says, make sure that they can servant lead their own family. And then he asked the question, if they can't servant lead their own family, how can they servant lead mine? How many people have we had that we don't even pay attention to their relationship in their home, their marriage, their family, and go, but you've been really successful. I call it in the book the corporate success model rather than the kingdom fruit model. And then the last session we talk about, now we're prepared to take it to the world. We have discipled people. Jesus spent two of his 3 years of public ministry discipling his disciples before he ever sent them out to others. We get it done in a 4 or 8 week class and then go, oh good, you're ready to go. Go love and serve and disciple. I'd rather follow Jesus' example.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you're interested in attending this conference, I know we have people listening to the podcast all over the country. It's going to be in St. Louis, but it's also available virtually. It's $10 for students, $20 for individuals, or $35 for couples. So I want to encourage you to register for that. We'll have the link available on our website, hopeishere.today, with this podcast.
Also, $35, one fee for streaming. And you can stream that to an entire church, a small group, a class, or in your home.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I want to encourage you to check out Greg's website. He has a blog. He also has a weekly program. He does Facebook Live on his Facebook page. You can find that at Love and Lordship. But go check out his website, loveandlordship.com. You can register for this conference. And also, I want to challenge you. This guy didn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk. And I want to encourage you, just like me, to buy a copy of this book called The Authority of Love by Greg Williams. Make sure you check it out at loveandlordship.com. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope is Here.
If you have been blessed by Hope is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.